Hello, everybody. Pastor Shane Vaughn with First Harvest Ministries. The Bible tells us to be ready to give an answer to anyone that asks about our faith and our religious belief and our conscience. The purpose of this video is to address a minister, a very famous minister, on the subject of Christmas trees. Now, for those of you that don't know, here at First Harvest, we do not celebrate Christmas. It goes against our religious conscience, and I'm not going to get in today about why we don't. I have many other videos on that subject. The purpose of the video tonight is to take some things that this brother, so the brother I'm speaking about, I'm not going to say his name because I honor the man, have nothing personal against him, great man, doing a great work for God. So I've chose just to pull the audio off of a recent video that he released on Christmas Eve. He was preaching to his church, a very large church, and decided to preach on Christmas trees in the affirmative of why the church should put up Christmas trees. As I was listening to his sermon, of course, he comes at it from a different angle than most people do. And so I found that very interesting, and I wanted to hear what he had to say. And as I was listening, I'm like, you know what? I've got to address this, because many of you that follow our teachings, you may follow this brother as well. And I don't want you confused by a sermon that sounds wonderful. But as I believe I'll prove to you tonight, lacking in truth. So before I proceed, I'm fixing to play some clips of the video for you. Before I do it, know this, because this video will probably get back to the brother. Please know this. This is not personal. That's why I chose not to put the video up. It is not intended to disparage, shame, or anything of that nature. It's simply to compare notes and see if indeed we're hearing the truth. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to bring the video in now, and we're going to play. And I think what I may do, I want to be very honest in this evaluation of this sermon. I hate when people quote me out of context. It's not fair to do that to someone. And so I want to be very careful tonight not to take this pastor out of context. So I'm going to have to play at least a 5-minute chunk of the beginning of his sermon for you to get the context, because we want to be fair in this evaluation. Now, I won't do the whole sermon. It was about 40 minutes long, I believe. And so there's no way I can do the whole sermon, but I give my word that I'm going to try my best to make sure that his context is heard. So, all right, without further ado, we're going to bring the video in, and then, of course, I'm going to respond with the Word of God, and we'll just find out where the truth is tonight. All right, so we're going to listen together, okay?
There's nothing that symbolizes Christmas for us, especially in the Western world, like a tree. When you think about everything that we use to celebrate Christmas and to embrace Christmas, we have a lot of different things that we do, whether it's dinner or you see Santa Clauses, it's the shopping, it's lights, it's everything. But if I could ask you, name the number one thing that symbolizes Christmas, you would have to say it's the Christmas tree.
I would agree with this pastor on that point, that of all the trappings of Christmas, the Christmas tree is the most beloved of them all. So he is correct about that. There's a caveat there. If Christmas is biblical, and what have you, the Christmas tree would be the actual symbol of Christmas.
Millions of them are sold every season. And I don't think it's a coincidence that we, I know that over the years I've been around groups or individuals who did not believe in having a Christmas tree.
All right, so now that would be us. For those that don't know who we are, we would be one of those groups that do not believe that a Christmas tree belongs in a believer's house.
And they take it out of, I think it's Jeremiah chapter 10, but...
I tell you what, let's do, before he does his but, let's go read that in Jeremiah 10 real quick. If you would like to go there with us, we will read it together. That way, you can know the scripture he is actually referring back to. I believe it is Jeremiah 10. Here we go. All right, so we're going to, and I also want to, well, I don't know if he referred to this scripture or not, but why was I not prepared for that? Kill that. Just kill that. Jeremiah 10, 2 through 5. Thus says Yahweh, do not learn the way of the heathen, for the customs of the people are vain. They go and cut a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen, with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but they speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go on their own. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. All right, so that is the verses he's referring to. Jeremiah spoke about a group of people long before Christmas, long before Christ, and what they would do. They would go out and cut a tree down and bring it in their home and fasten it. But that's not all they did. It said they would deck that tree with silver and gold. Ornamentation is what they would do with that tree. Now, when we bring this minister back, he's going to try to spin this another way. So I'll let you listen and we'll respond.
Not realizing that that passage of scripture is talking about the fact that the enemy was trying to counterfeit what God had already intended to celebrate and to represent who he is.
Okay, so his first claim is that the reason these pagans were... Now, he acknowledges that this was a tree that was brought into the house. He's not denying that. But he's saying that the reason they did it was because they were imitating the true worship of God. And now he's going to make the case that God wanted to be worshipped using a tree, and that the pagans were just imitating what God originally wanted. Let's find out if that's true.
In Jeremiah chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, say this, that they would take a tree, cut it down with an axe, and that they would set it upright, and they would deck it with silver and gold. The enemy has always tried to counterfeit what God intends for us to celebrate.
Okay, so he's now making the assumption that God, Yahweh, intends for you and I to bring a tree in our home and celebrate Yahweh with a tree. And that's why the pagans were doing it as an imitation. But yet Jeremiah says the total opposite. He calls this the customs of the people. Not the customs of God, but the customs of the people, and that those customs are vain. This minister would have you to believe that Yahweh designed this tree to be brought into the home, because as the minister said at the beginning, the Christmas tree in their home is the symbol of God. And he says now that these people are imitating the original. Now he's going to go into why he believes that the tree in the home was the way that God wanted to be worshiped originally.
And when we have a Christmas tree in our home, we are not falling down and worshiping a tree.
Well, you are kneeling before it and laying gifts at its feet.
It is a representation that it represents something much greater. And so when you go back and you begin to study the tree.
All right, so he's fixing to go back, but before he does, let me tell you what he just said. He believes that the tree in the home was God's idea, and that whenever they put it in their home, that it is representing something much greater. Now, you and I both know, if we're going to be honest, very few people walk by a Christmas tree seeing something greater that it represents. Most people is looking at the decorations and what's under it. So let's just be real with that. Very few people are, you know, oh, Christmas tree, how lovely are thy branches. But we don't worship it, though.
It is a theme that runs from Genesis to Revelation.
I agree.
And when you read the story of creation, the very central theme of Genesis is the tree of life. When you go back and you look at the Bible, the very first page of the Bible deals with the tree. The very first chapter, the very first page of Psalms deals with the tree. For he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water.
Okay, so here he's saying that trees do represent something other than a literal tree. So keep that in mind, because I'm going to come back to that in a minute. He's telling you that in the Bible, sometimes men were represented by the image of a tree. And that's true, very true. He brings us to the Garden of Eden and starts talking about how important trees are to God.
The very first page of Matthew, the New Testament, deals with the tree. The very last page of the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, deals with a tree. So God starts with a tree and he ends it with a tree.
That's good for preaching. That definitely makes good preaching points if they were only true. What he's saying about the trees in the garden and the trees in the book of Revelation, that is true. However, there's a point that I'm going to bring out here in a minute that will show you that it's, to be respectful, it's not a good argument. And I'll show you why in just a moment. But it is true. The Bible starts with trees and the Bible ends with trees. So in his mind, that means God likes trees and we should like trees in our home.
Because it is tied to something much greater that represents.
Keep that in mind. Even he is admitting that the trees are tied to something much greater. They represent something besides the physical tree.
Life.
They represent life.
When you go back to Genesis, the Bible talks about it. He said, the Lord made man. It's very interesting. The first 3 days, on the third day, he creates trees. And then the second 3 day segment, on the sixth day, God creates man. When you go back to the scriptures, man has always been likened to a tree.
Okay. So by his own admission, a tree does not always mean a tree. It represents something. From his own mouth,
he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of living water.
A tree planted by rivers of living water is representing a man that's founded on the Word of God. Keep all of these admissions in mind when I get to my main point.
When God healed the blind man and he touched him twice, he said, what do you see the first time? He said, I see men as trees walking.
All true.
So God has always used an analogy.
Remember that word, analogy. I'm going to need it in just a minute.
Between trees and people.
Trees and people are trees and entities. Trees and things that the tree represents.
And in Genesis, the tree of life, when it was sitting in the midst of the paradise of God in Eden, and it was on top of a mountain.
All right, so according to this minister, the tree was not just in Eden, but it was on top of a mountain. And he's going to give you a scripture to prove that.
You say, how do we know that? Because if you go back and you read, I think it's in Ezekiel. The Lord is speaking to the devil, as Lucifer, and he says, thou was in the garden in Eden on the mountain of the Lord, or on the mount of God. So God builds this beautiful garden, and in the midst of it there is a mountain, and on top of the mountain is the tree of life.
All right, let's pause there. So there's a garden of Eden. In the middle of this garden, or wherever, there's a big mountain. On top of the mountain is a tree. And that's why we bring trees into our home. Now, keep all this in mind. And we'll talk about that mountain. We'll talk about Ezekiel and everything in just a moment.
Tree of life was the central theme of the garden. And
so according to him, there's a literal mountain, a literal tree. Way up, you look up, you'll see it.
Eden, or the Garden of Eden, literally means a pleasure palace or a place of pleasure. It was a place of fellowship where God and man came together. When you and I fellowship with God, there is nothing greater. There's nothing that, at least for me personally, that gives,
I agree with that,
gives me more pleasure than fellowshipping with the Lord.
Okay, so I think we'll pause right there. I tried to play the whole thing so you could, or the beginning, so you could get the context of where the brother's going. Now, many of you watching right now, if you were to hear this sermon, it sounds logical, it sounds sensible, it sounds rational. Okay? I just want to show you why it's wrong. Okay, it's very, very simple. We need to first establish that here's reference points of Genesis and Revelation about trees. Those are not good reference points. Why? Because I'm fixing to prove to you from the Word of God that those were not literal trees, neither in the Garden of Eden nor in the book of Revelation. Let's talk about those trees and let's find out if a natural tree growing from the ground on this big mountain in the Garden of Eden can give you eternal life. Let's find out if a tree can give you knowledge of good and evil. The answer is obvious. No. The Bible is written in Oriental language, if you will. It is written in a way, the Bible says that it's written exclusively to the house of Israel, for those that have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, not what the text is saying, but what is the Spirit saying to you, deep calling unto deep, through the text, all right? Now, a perfect example of this is with these two trees in the garden. Are they real, literal, physical trees? Because his entire argument, the reason he brings a real, physical, literal tree into his home is because of the physical, literal tree that was in the Garden of Eden. But the simple fact is this, my dear brother and sister, the very simple fact is this, and you can find this story in Genesis 2, 8 through 17, when it talks about these trees. The simple fact is the tree of life in the Garden of Eden and in the book of Revelation was not a natural, physical tree, okay? As a matter of fact, if you read in Revelation 2 and 7, it says, to him that overcometh will I give him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. What does Eden mean? Paradise, okay? So here we come to the back of the Bible, and we find that same tree that we find in the beginning, just like this minister said. However, it's the same exact tree at the end that's in the beginning. Keep that in mind. This tree is giving eternal life in Genesis and in Revelation. Now what I need every one of you to answer with a just a common sense mind, can a tree, do you think when we get to heaven, we're all going to be standing under a tree eating fruit so that we can keep on living eternally? There will be billions of us, correct? In other words, how long do we have at that tree? It's one tree. These are things that are so very important. The tree in the book of Revelation is the exact same tree that Adam lost access to in the garden. But because of a son of Adam, now all of Adam's sons have been given the right to return back to the tree of life that they never were able to access in the Garden of Eden. This tree is imparting more than mortal life. This tree is implanting way beyond mortal life, and it's giving eternal life. No physical tree can minister heavenly life to anyone. To think that it can is pure poppycock. These are not trees. It's just like the minister said. These are symbolizing or representing something beyond a tree. Let's talk about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Do you believe you can eat a tree and all of a sudden have knowledge and be like God and have the knowledge of good and evil because you ate from a tree? Perish the thought, beloved. Just not the case at all. No physical tree can give you eternal life. All right? 2 Corinthians 4:18 says these words, for the things which we see are temporary, but the things which are not seen is eternal. So if this tree is giving eternal life, according to 2 Corinthians 4:18. If you can see it with the natural eye, it cannot give you anything eternal. It's plain. 2 Corinthians 4:18. One more time. For the things which you see, they give temporary life. They're temporal. But the things you cannot see give eternal life. So if you could have physically seen this tree, it's incapable of giving you heavenly, eternal life. No natural tree can impart spiritual life because no natural tree is spiritual in its properties or in its essence. According to the revelation of the Word of God, Yahshua is not only our life today, but the life that was in Christ is eternal And that life, let's read about that life, shall we? It's in 1 John chapter 1, 1 through 4. Let's find out who. The minister already said trees represent men or entities. Let's find out what that tree was representing. Okay, 1 John 1, 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled, the word of life. Now he says this word of life, not the man Jesus, but the word of life that came from his mouth was from the beginning. All right? For the life was manifested in the man, Christ Jesus, Yeshua. We have seen that man with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled him. The word of life, for the life was manifested. We have seen it and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and now has been manifested to us. That eternal life that was from the beginning was in the Father, not in a tree. Okay? It was in the Father. So Adam had two choices in the garden, the father or the foe. Faith in the Word of God or doubt in the Word of God. That was his two choices then, and that's still Adam's two choices today. The tree of life in the beginning was nothing else than the life of God in Christ made available to man. It was a prophetic picture that Moses drew of the coming Christ that would have within him the fruit of the Spirit, and we would get eternal life from his words, believing on his words. You know, when fruit enters your stomach, it begins to be digested. The nutrients begin to be absorbed into the bloodstream. Then the blood carries those nutrients to every cell of the body, internal and external. And it's in the same way the life in the fruit is ministered to the body, and the whole body becomes filled with those life-giving properties of the fruit. And in this we see God's plan for man from the beginning, that he would eat of the fruit of the tree of life, or the word of life, which is the life of God in Christ. So the same life that was available to them in the garden, the same fruit, was made available to us again when Yeshua came as the tree. He said that he was that tree of life. He was that eat. He said, to get eternal life, you have to eat of me. This is my body. Eat it. And therein is eternal life. Now, let's talk about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That second tree, which was not a tree at all. This tree represents the carnal mind of man. Two choices that every man has to this day. Two choices, the mind of Christ or the carnal. That's your two trees. That is your two trees. One will produce life, one will produce death. That second tree of carnality brings death because it is the source of death. What is a tree? The source, the trunk of the fruit. It's the source. These two trees are symbolic of the sources of death and life. The first tree is the source of divine life. On one hand, the second tree is the source of divine death. Let's read about that in Romans chapter 8, 5 and 6, and then verse 13. I'll read it for you. For to be carnally minded is death. I just told you, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it's the tree of death. It is the symbol for the carnal, rebellious mind that questions the Word of God. And that's exactly what that tree caused Eve and Adam to do. To become carnal-minded is death, but to be spiritual-minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, because it cannot be subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it ever be. The carnal mind will never submit to the Word of God. It'll never believe it for what it says. It will never take it by faith. It will always question it. And that leads to certain death. For if we live after the carnal mind, we shall die. Galatians 6 and 8. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap death or corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit will have life. Two trees. There's your two trees one more time. The scripture is plain, brothers and sisters. The power of death cannot be dispensed into man except through the agency of a carnal mind. And a carnal mind is always the devil's workshop. It's always where the devil can come and get people to doubt his very word. From the beginning of time, these two trees represent two sources. One, the spiritual life. Two, the carnal life. And that is what they have always represented, and that's what they represent in the book of Revelation. We know Adam chose that second tree, did he not? But the second Adam chose that first tree, did he not? The Bible said he learned obedience through the things he suffered. He said, I say nothing unless my Father says it. See? No, what you need to know is Adam took the fruit, him and Eve, of that tree of knowledge. And what he was taking something into his mind. He was literally ingesting the influence of the serpent, which is, please, I pray you don't believe in talking snakes. Even the serpent is the symbol for the voice that speaks to the carnal mind. It's very, very, very easy if you're not careful to fall into the trap of not knowing when the Word of God is figurative and when it's literal. And you really need to pray every time you read your Bible, because if not, you will defend having a Christmas tree on the fact that the tree of life in the garden was a tree, when truly it was not a tree at all, okay? So it's very important now that you understand in the book of Revelation, it talks about the tree. I've read it to you. You would have a right to that tree. Again, eternal life is in the Son. That Son is the tree of life because of the eternal life that comes from His words, the fruit of His mouth. If you'll believe that, then you will live. All right. So there's another part of his sermon I'll play for you now.
You have two trees in that garden that stand out.
But you didn't. That's what I'm saying. The entire premise of his analogy is faulty because these were not trees. These were choices.
There were many, many trees that bore fruit. But the Lord focuses on two. He calls it the tree of life. And then you have the tree of death. Scripture calls it the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but in reality, it was the tree of death. Because the moment that Adam and Eve ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they died spiritually.
No, not when they ate the tree. When they ate the fruit of the mouth of the serpent, Satan, that old serpent, the devil. Now, by the time that serpent gets to the book of Revelation, he's a dragon. He's grown up. Why? Because he's been feeding on their dust for 6,000 years. Man is that dust that he feeds on, and he's grown into a dragon. So the point we're making here is, no, there was not two trees. There just wasn't. And therefore, your entire argument that the reason you have a tree in your home is because God wanted it in there. He made the tree for us to bring in our home to remind us of the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. when there never was a tree.
And they began to die physically. So when God had that tree represented, in fact, it represented eternal life.
On that, we completely agree. We agree. That tree in this word picture that Moses created here to explain man's fall was a representation of eternal life, not a tree.
Because whoever ate of that tree would never die.
Impossible.
And we know this because
we don't know this.
The Bible says that when Adam and Eve sinned, that God put cherubims or angels at the guarding of that garden, and that the sword turned everywhere to keep them from eating of the tree of life.
Here's why. Because now we had to wait 4,000 years for Yahshua to come and bring that tree to man again. The only reason they were not allowed back in is because that was part of the plan of redemption. Had they been able to, you know, come back into fellowship with God without the Son. See, the Garden of Eden is a picture of fellowship with God, which we all should be living in that Garden of Eden daily, fellowshipping with the Lord. All right? But remember, for 4,000 years, man was estranged from God and that personal relationship. It was the tree of life that would bring us back and reconcile us to the Father and bring us back into the garden. One day, the whole world, that will happen for during the millennial reign.
Because God did not want man to live forever in the state of sin.
I agree with that.
And so he took them out of that, and man has continued to die until, hallelujah, he gets a taste of the tree of life.
Totally agree.
Which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you go back, I did some study and...
Okay, now he's going to go into something that blew my mind because he's a smart man and he knows better. And we're going to talk about that. But listen to where the Christmas tree came from.
I thought, where did the Christmas tree originate from? And you can look at Wikipedia and different things, but a lot...
Britannica, which we're fixing to look at.
A lot of them bring out the fact that really, the very first time that we really read about the tree being decorated and celebrated was done by Martin Luther, who had the revelation of the justification of faith.
And he was also the biggest anti-Semite Jew hater in history. So Martin Luther, you know, has a mixed record, but according to him, it was Martin Luther that introduced the Christmas tree to the world. Totally false, and I'll prove it in just a few minutes.
And that Martin Luther was the first one who really took a tree and decorated it. When now you begin to watch the theme of the tree, Jesus is the tree of life.
Amen.
Not that right there. That is a symbol that we celebrate. But the tree of life, hallelujah, is Jesus Christ.
The tree of life was never a tree. It was a euphemism. It was a word picture trying to show you the source. A tree is a source. That's all. There was no tree of life in the garden. There was no tree of knowledge of good and evil in the garden. These were word pictures to plant within our mind the imagery necessary for us to know that man will always have two choices in their garden.
When you begin to read this, I think it's in Isaiah chapter 6.
Before we go any further, let me touch on the mountain he talked about earlier. According to him, this tree of life is on a mountain in the Garden of Eden. Brothers and sisters, in the book of Ezekiel, that is not a literal mountain. If you understand your scriptures, you know that mountains are symbolic of government. If you'll go read in Isaiah, Jeremiah, even Daniel's vision of the stone rolling down the mountain, these are the governments of men or God. And this tree of life, Satan was definitely in the government of God over planet Earth. The mountain that he was on in Eden, he was in governmental authority. That's why he's still God of this world. He's still on that mountain, that government mountain. It's really shocking to me that this minister believes that is a literal mountain that was in the garden and the tree was up there on top of the mountain.
Isaiah calls Jesus a mighty oak.
Amen.
Or a
not that he was an oak tree, not at all. Symbolism.
Strong oak tree. I believe it's another place in Isaiah where Jesus himself called himself. He said, I am the vine.
That's a tree.
And you are the branches.
But he's not talking about a literal tree. I mean, so that this is my point I've been making. Now he's telling us that these trees, what they represent, Yahshua, eternal life, they're not real trees.
That he is the tree of life. And so as we go down through this, the enemy hates the tree of life.
Right. Yahshua, not a tree.
In every major religion in the world, there is a place within their ideology that they have a sacred tree.
Now we're getting somewhere. You're right. Every religion in the world, witchcraft, paganism, druidism, there is that sacred tree. You're exactly right.
That they incorporate. Why? Because the enemy always counterfeits what God has in store.
Okay, so all these other religions are imitating the Christmas tree. Even though these other religions existed thousands of years before Christ. But according to this minister, they're all imitating the original Christmas tree.
When Jesus came on the scene, he became the tree of life that had been banned for a long time from man ever being able to partake of him. No wonder the enemy tried to kill him.
Okay, and that is, to be fair, that is pretty much the end. He goes on, he goes into preaching about Yahshua, which, by the way, is wonderful. I totally agree with that part of it. So, let's do this. All right. The only way I know to do this is let's go find out, if we can, where this Christmas tree came from, and let's find out if it's true that Martin Luther started that. That's not true, but let's act like it is. According to his teaching, the reason that Jeremiah mention this tree is because that the pagans were imitating us, the original tree people. It's just not true, okay? Because Jeremiah calls those people, he said that those were the customs of the people. He didn't say that they were doing what God said to do. He said that that was their customs. It was never God's custom for you to bring a tree into your home to represent the tree in the Garden of Eden. Instead, let me read to you from the book of Curiosities of Popular Customs, page 122. It says, and this is not a religious book at all. This is just a reference book for different customs in the world. Concerning the Christmas tree, it says it's an old Babylonian fable. Now, England, Martin Luther was in Germany, okay? We find pictures of Queen Victoria standing by a Christmas tree, all right, in the 1800s. Martin Luther was in the 1500s in Germany. And indeed, there was, before Martin Luther actually, a revival of this custom of the Christmas tree. But where did they get it from? They got it from the Romans, which ruled that part of the world. The Romans got it from their custom of Saturnalia. I'm not going to teach on that today. You can do your own research. But the Romans got it from Egypt. The Egyptians got it from the Babylonians. Because according to Curiosities of Popular Customs, page 242, it says there's an old Babylonian tale told of an evergreen tree, which sprang out of a dead tree stump. The old stump symbolized Nimrod. The new evergreen tree growing out of it symbolized that Nimrod had come to life again in his son, Tammuz. Among the Druid religion, the oak tree was sacred. The Egyptians, it was the palm tree. But in Rome, it was the fir tree that they decorated during Saturnalia. All right? Now let's go read Frederick Haskins' book where he answers the question this way. The Christmas tree is from Egypt, and before that, Babylon. Its origins date from a period long before the Christian era. Now, there is not one command in the Word of God anywhere to bring a tree into our home to represent the tree in the garden. It's nowhere in the Bible. But we are told not to learn the customs of the heathens and the pagans, not to do what they do religiously in worship to their God. We know according to Jeremiah what they do. They bring trees into their home. But now I would like for you to see something. That way you're not taking it just from my mouth. I'll show you where the trees came from, if you're willing to learn. The lady I'm about to show you, her name is Lori Cabot. Lori Cabot is the official witch of Salem, Massachusetts. She is a preeminent scholar on all things pagan. She has a message for all of us.
It was always brought into the house, and oftentimes a tree. That's where it came from witches. We brought the tree into the home.
Her religion is paganism. And she tells you, we started that. Way back, we brought the evergreen into the home. The witches started that. Okay? She knows her religion. The witches have called and they want their tree back, okay? They want their Easter bunny back. All witchcraft. All witchcraft. And as you look more and more into this subject, it becomes more and more obvious. The woman I just played, I have a video of her an hour talking about Christmas traditions and how they were all hijacked from witchcraft. The first 300 years of the church of Jesus Christ, Yahshua, no one celebrated Christmas. No one. No one. That crept into the church because the church could not convert the pagans to come into their holiday. So actually the Roman church went and moved their original celebration of the birth of Christ to December the 25th to make it line up with pagan celebration, the birth of the sun god. Well, when I hear things like this from smart people, great preachers, I just wonder how we could be so deceived. There was no trees in the Garden of Eden that ever gave eternal life or ever brought death, ever. It's all euphemism. It's all... He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying, not what the text, the Spirit. If you could just read the text without the Holy Spirit revealing it, then it wouldn't say that. It would just say, he that has eyes, read the text. But it doesn't. It said, he that hath an ear, hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, not the world, just the house of Israel. Well, I just wanted to give that sermon a fair evaluation. One more time, the brother that preached it, I love, know his family, wonderful man, nothing personal. Thank you for listening.